Blog Talk Radio.
We're coming to you live from Sacred Dress Bar. How's everybody doing out there? We're still coming to you from two separate states, talking about a certain team known as
How many more championships do you guys think we're going to predict, Vandersteel?
Gentlemen, the only question is not will they repeat, but how many times?
You know, I don't think we're talking about a repeat, a three-peat, or even a four-peat.
That's right. We're talking a minimum eight-peat.
All right, this half an hour will be a little more Bears-centric, but to finish up on the Bulls conversation, Derrick Rose honestly should be practicing right now, according to the doctor's timelines, that pre-surgery. I mean, granted, it's not a big surgery. I know he's shooting around, I believe. He's doing light shooting, I think.
He's probably dunking off his left leg doing, like, 360s, like, you know, like last time. He's like, can't come back.
Yeah, I can't dunk. I just dunked from half court.
I haven't gotten my message from Gid. So I'm not coming back.
I need a message from Gep. Except he'd be like, we need a message from God. Who cares?
Sound like Al Gore there. That wasn't gross cool. At all. Like try and do Derrick Rose. Like have the mindset of trying to do Derrick Rose and talk about global warming.
All right, hold on. Who cares? Global warming. I can't do it.
Okay, anyways.
I lost the magic. That was a little bit Clinton there. But anyways, black helicopters. Derrick Rose, he better – I think April 1st is, like, extreme. Like, he should be back by then. That's how I view this.
Like, he should be back now. Like,
He should be back full bore, like, MVP form because he doesn't have that broken –
I mean, plus, too, like, if you come back early, nothing bad can happen. All he did – like, it's really – honestly, I don't see why you can't even come back sooner because, I mean, you're dealing with inflammation. Like, you're only dealing with things because of surgery. But, like, unless the wound reopens, like, there's nothing that you're going to harm because there's nothing weaker. Like, it's just taking, like, the whole, you know, pebble out of a shoe thing. Like, nothing's really going to – nothing can happen bad. It's not like they, you know, took a flap out or trying to re-heal it. Like, it's taken out. Like, nothing's going to change. It's really all just mental and getting the range of motion back.
Kevin Durant got a screw taken out of his foot, and then another screw put back in because the other screw was uncomfortable. And he'll probably be back quicker than Derrick Rose will still be back. Like,
yeah,
it just.
Oh man, here we go again. So this and that came back even before Derrick Rose.
Oh man, they'll return 2000 ?
But it's there's been so many returns I've lost track. Like,
now
it's not even like now it's beating a dead horse. So that's not even funny anymore. Hashtag the return.
The horse is decomposed at this point.
The horse doesn't even exist.
It's like in a video game where you kill the enemy and the enemy fades away. Like, the horse is gone.
Yeah, the horse has been gone forever. Now there's not even anything to beat anymore.
I know, we're just hitting the lag switch, hoping he accidentally comes back somehow.
Yeah.
But that's about it for the Bull stuff. I might as well switch to Bears since we got limited time here. I hate John Fox. Me and Greg, we've been on the record. We don't like that hiring. I'm not a fan of him. But I will say this, Adam Gase, and I forget the GM's name, surprisingly. I like what they've done. They've done a good job. That McPhee signing could be really good. He also could suck because he played on a great defense with Elodie Nada. So, you know, I don't really know what's going to happen there. But on paper, it looks good. I think the Antrell Roll signing who they just signed is a huge upgrade over Conte. No doubt about it. Oh, my God, it's so much better. And Mundy played with Roll in New York, our only good safety last year. So at least there's a little bit of repertoire there. Maybe those two guys can work together. They're supposedly bringing in the Kansas City Chiefs strong safety, something Parker. For an interview.
We don't know 90% of NFL players. Yeah. We just predict everything perfectly every year.
Yeah, like once Greg looks at a couple things and I look at a couple things, I'll tell you who's going to be good.
We sound like we're joking, but our track record, that's literally how it is.
Yeah, we have like six championships all predicted on this show.
Yeah, 5 years.
Greg predicted Snell. He predicted J.J. Watt.
In high school. Predicted J.J. Watt in 2006. Yeah, actually, that was 2006 because that was my freshman year. Yeah, 2006 because that was the first time I ever saw J.J. Watt. Then I went to his first game. I was like, oh, my God, this guy's making the NFL. Got like six sacks. Like he seriously got. I think there's one possession. It was a three and out. He got three sacks in a row. And that happened like three times that game. I was like, okay,
this
guy's going somewhere.
It was like 2009, and you're like, yeah, this J.J. Watt guy. He's at Michigan State playing tight end, but he sucks at tight end. But he's gonna be like, and he's gonna be the NFL as a defensive end. He's gonna be great. He's gonna forever. And I was like, huh? Like who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, he played with me in high school. I'm like, oh, cool. So he's just like some no-name guy from no-name town. It's like, yeah, he made the NFL. He's really good.
And now he's like the best defensive player I've ever seen in my two, you know, my.
Yeah, he could turn into the best defensive player of all time. Done. Honestly, it just, when it gets to that, like, honestly, with NFL players, like, when people are in their primes, they're so extremely similar to, like, who's better. It's like the same. Then it just comes down to who lasts the longest. It's like, that's why Jerry Rice is the best receiver of all time because he lasted the longest. So it's like, and you know, guys like Reggie White, too, because he just lasted the longest at that level. So it'll just come down to how long he lasts will depend on, you know, where he's ranked.
That's sweetness.
Yeah, and then Walter Payton, too. But yeah, speaking of my old high school and stuff, my coach, I was looking through his old Twitter stuff because he always tweets, like, all these motivational stuff, which is really awesome. For those that know, like, he pretty much, like, shaped, like, the J.J. Watt mindset. Like, this overly nice guy who's, like, extremely motivated. Like, that's all from that program. But one quote he had, and I thought it was perfect, and he said, if you think pouting after you make a mistake is showing how much you care, then you're right. It's showing how much you care about yourself. And it's like, that pretty much sums up Cutler in a nutshell.
Yeah, for the most part. I'm so over the Cutler thing. Like, honestly, I pretty much hate the Bears. That's kind of the only team I sort of like. Oh, and totally off topic, but I have to get this out there about the Kevin Love Mirotić thing. Kevin Love seems like he's sort of a head case. Mirotić can get killed on the defensive end, and it doesn't take it to the offensive side. I wanted to say that earlier, didn't get it out. But back to Cutler. Supposedly they tried to trade him. Now they deny it. They tried to trade him. But supposedly there was no interest, so except from the Titans, which makes sense because he's from Vanderbilt and everything like that. I was game for a trade. Like, I like the guy. I know what he is. I don't expect him to be anything more. I don't know if you win a championship with him, unless you have a great defense. Even then,
we can't if he's taking that much money away.
Yeah, the contract is the worst. Like, if he didn't make that much money, I wouldn't be too bothered with it.
Well, it's like, now there's two major reasons. Like, before, my whole thing was why, because I was saying before, I was never going to win a Super Bowl, and that was because, like, forever on the show, and that was because the main thing was just his inconsistency. Like, he's going to get bad in the playoffs. He's going to, it's that combined with he's kind of like the reverse, or the same as Lovie Smith, just to the quarterback version, where against bad teams he might dominate, although he's even more inconsistent than that, but he has the same effect where against bad teams he'll dominate, and then once you figure him out, he's totally done. So, I mean, once you run in the playoffs and you run into a legitimate defense, you're going to get destroyed. That combined with your inconsistency, it's only a matter of time before you run into a bad streak and then you're done. You're not going to make the playoffs run into a bad streak. And then now, making that much money combined with all that, it's beyond impossible. He's never getting to Super Bowl.
And then there was that whole thing, and I'm a part of that group to an extent, where I believe that when quarterbacks turn 30, like a guy like Drew Brees, just sort of got it. A guy like Tony Romo turns the ball over a lot, but he started his career really when he was 30 years old. It's like usually when they hit that thing, they sort of maybe see things a little differently. They mature a little bit as quarterback. Jay didn't change at all. He's the same exact guy he was in 2009.
Yeah, it's like that usually only happens when you play behind somebody or you didn't really get to prove yourself enough.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, Jay was like, didn't he play like his rookie year or something? So it's like he's already been out there. With those guys, it doesn't really happen because it's more like you have like a development phase, and then after that development phase, you're only going to get so much better after that. So it's like, you know, and then I still stand by the whole, the greatest way to do it is to sit behind a superstar for like 4 years. Cause I mean, if you just look at like the history, that's just how it is. Like Steve Young sitting behind, or just, you know, like sitting for 4 years is honestly like for in the long run, like that's just proven to be the most effective way. Cause I mean, before I, the whole thing against that argument, like a few years ago when all these great rookie quarterbacks came out, I mean, look at them now. They're all dead. The RG3s, all those guys. The only one that still held up was Andrew Luck, but that's only because Andrew Luck is for real. So it's like Andrew Luck, it wouldn't have mattered if he started right away or groomed behind like a guy like Peyton Manning. Yeah. But still, I mean, I still would say if Andrew Luck groomed behind a guy like Peyton Manning for 4 years, he'd be even better yet in the long run. But
that
yeah,
kid's good. And now he's got Andre Johnson to throw to. Like,
yeah, I know.
Reggie Wayne is like the leader current for receptions. That wasn't retired. And then Andre Johnson's right behind him. So, I mean, as long as Johnson stays healthy, that's always been his biggest thing. But Andrew Luck's for that kid's. The kid's really good. Like he's a special player. I'd trade our whole team for him.
Yeah, he's and somebody made a good point that it's like he's really the only great young quarterback. Like you know, in the draft class, if there's not a new set of great quarterbacks coming out in the next few years, then once all these old guys retired, it's going to literally be Andrew Luck all by himself. There's not going to be anybody to compete against him.
Yeah, like. I think Russell Wilson's for real, but I don't.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about Russell Wilson.
I don't think he's the same as Andrew Luck as far as, like, that caliber of quarterback, but he's a winner, and he gets it, and he's clutch. Like, I love Russell Wilson. Yeah, sure, he threw the interception at the end of the game. Whatever.
Well, that wasn't really his fault. That was just the cornerback.
I mean, he should have thrown the ball a little more to the right.
Yeah,
you know.
But then it would have been a touchdown, though.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. It's like, that's it gets the game in inches. That's going to happen, like. Whatever. The receiver didn't do anything to help either. But
I mean, he had guys out of Foot Locker as a number one receiver, so it's like he didn't have anything to work with. Like they shouldn't have even like gotten like past the second round in the playoffs with that receiver core. Like they had nobody, and he just made it happen that whole year. But yeah, I totally forgot about him. So I actually take that quarterback thing back.
It's really Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson. Who else is great that's young? Kaepernick's another.
And he's just like a talented guy who's never going to be able to put it together.
RG3's dead.
Yeah.
That kid from Miami is just mediocre.
Well, there's like some like weird random like Andy Daltons and stuff, but for the great.
It's a playoff game. He's horrible.
Yeah, that's because it's the Bengals in the playoffs. Like, it's because they got that horrible coach. I mean, that's just Bengal football.
Well, and Andy Dalton's, he's very similar to Cutler. He's just the Cutler for the Bengals. He's exactly what he is. You know, puts up some good stats, but just big stupid plays all the time. And he does the same shit year after year. And people are like, oh, Andy Dalton's going to be great. Same with Matt Ryan. Oh, Matt Ryan's going to be great. He's just a good quarterback. Like, those guys are good quarterbacks. They're not great. I think Andrew Luck, Wilson, I honestly don't know if they're quarterbacks.
No, well, that's it for the great so far, unless somebody comes out. But there's been lots of times before where there's only two greats, so that's not too surprising. But, yeah, I still don't know how Marvin Lewis has a job. Like, I've mentioned this, like, I probably mentioned this, like, probably 600 times for the last 6 years now.
It's the X Factor with Barron.
Yeah, I think our very first show I said the same exact thing back in 2009. So I guess it's 6 years now. I still don't know how Marvin Lewis has a job.
But speaking of Russell Wilson and the Foot Locker players, now he has Jimmy Graham to throw to. Like that's
gonna be
that's a rare once in a lifetime talent that they just acquired.
Honestly, all they need now is a number two weapon because you know get your two big weapons and then that team's like back. Like that team's back as good as ever.
Yeah.
Especially too with a coach like Pete Carroll, he's like a guy who can like turn because he's that like college type of mentality. He'll turn that team around from getting a Super Bowl drunk if they have legit talent.
No doubt. Like Pete Carroll's a great coach. I didn't know how he would do because he failed.
I mean, even just getting to a second Super Bowl has been unheard of for it feels like forever now. I mean, I don't even know if you can count the Patriot ones because it wasn't for Spygate. They wouldn't have made a lot of those, or at least they wouldn't have. Well, let's see. They only repeated once. So yeah, that initial repeat wouldn't have happened because they wouldn't even made. There's no way they would have made it past the Raiders in the first place.
If it wasn't for the Tuck rule, let alone anything else. But it's insane. Like that Seattle thing's for real. That just keeps getting better. They keep they draft really well. The defense is they lose Brandon Browner, the next guy up is great. Like. That's just a really good organization. I'm jealous of that organization.
Yeah, unless the team gives up on Pete Carroll or like Marshawn Lynch gives up on him because of that play, but then the Seahawks are just stupid and they deserve to lose.
And honestly, everyone who said, oh, they should have ran the ball.
Yeah, we
really
covered that. Yeah, no.
About that, but you still see people saying it. Get over it. Like,
honestly, that was actually a great call. It was just, like, a great play. I mean, plus, too, it's like I would take those odds every time. Like, some fourth guy in the roster, cornerback who hardly plays, he's a rookie, and you're going to throw it to him for a touchdown. It's like, yeah, I take that every single time. I'll take it every time
rather than run
like
the
95,
ball.
Like 90 times out of 100, that's a touchdown. And 9 other times, it's an incompletion. And 1 time, it's picked off. Not even 1 time. It's like 1 out of like a billion. Like that's never going to happen again.
And if anything, they figured the ball was going to Marshawn Lynch. So they were ready to stop him.
Well, yeah, because that was so overly stacked. Like, why would you run into a big pile of crap in the middle? Like, there's nowhere to go. Like, they were stacking the line like crazy. Like the Seahawks were in, like, shotgun, and they were still, like, in goal line. So that was a great call.
And honestly, I probably would have ran a read option there and had Russell Wilson take it.
Yeah, or something, but not run it right up into the defense. It's the dumbest thing you could do. I mean, it would have ran clock, but then the thing is, too, like, those running in the end zone plays, like, a lot of that is based on momentum. Like if you get stuffed, like the worst thing you can do is run it again, because then you're going to get stuffed even worse. And then it's just an accumulative effect, and the defense just gets more confident and more energy, and then you're done. Like, for running it in, like, surprise runs are the best, or do a stretch that they don't expect. But once you get stuffed once, it's really hard to do it again unless you get creative. And it's hard to get creative, especially at the end of games when everybody's seen everything.
I don't know, but that's harping on a dead horse, I guess. I'm trying to think of other things. So stick with the
there's all the NFL transactions.
The NFC West, Patrick Willis retired at the age of 30. Like,
yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Football retired. That whole 49ers thing is just done. Like, that's over.
Once Jim Harbaugh left, that was it.
That thing is bad. If you look at it, I mean, losing Patrick Willis was huge, let alone they don't have anything anymore. Frank Gore's gone. Granted, Frank Gore was getting older, but that whole thing just died. I mean, Kaepernick fell off.
Where did Percy Harvin go?
He's going to be a free agent.
So he hasn't gone anywhere yet, okay.
I don't think he's gone anywhere at the moment. Honestly, I'd love to see the Bears sign Percy Harvin.
Yeah, no.
Especially, because
they need a number two receiver now.
Yeah, because the Jets released him. Yeah, I mean, the Bears signed Eddie Royal. Good move. It's a low-risk, high-reward. Like, he played really good with James.
I mean, it's an improvement over, like the worst defense in the NFL. Like, take any old veteran who's overpaid. It's better than what you got.
Yeah, I mean, and looking at the Bears' wide receiver core right now, you got Jeffrey. We know what he is. He's not a speed guy, but he's a big body. He gets open. He'll always be open. We'll see how he plays when he's...
Speaking of which, I don't know if I ever brag, but that's another one. Actually, this football team, it'd be nothing but me bragging about my individual player predictions. I was the first one to say, when I saw totally insane his rookie year with that Alshon Jeffries, the best number two receiver in the NFL, and everyone thought I was the craziest person in the world. But then look how that turned out.
I think he's going to have an even better year this year. He seems to be like he has a good work ethic, and I think Brandon Marshall also helped with that. I love Brandon Marshall. I didn't want to see him go. I'm okay with it, though, because I feel like the Bears are in a good situation. Honestly, Marquise Wilson, he's a big 6'4 guy. He runs like a 4. He runs a really good 40, not quite 4.3, but he's a step below it or step above it, I guess. He's a good player. Couldn't get into the groove last year, but he was open. That's big, so... I have a feeling between Eddie Royal coming out of the slot, and if they don't, I don't know what else they're going to do at wide receiver. They're bringing in somebody else at receiver tomorrow. I don't know who it is. I don't remember the name because I don't know anybody in the NFL besides like players who were drafted in the 90s.
Yeah, that's all we know is a really old guy.
Or early 2000s.
And then if we don't know him, like guys like Revis, then I just call him Ty Law, so we just make him up.
So I think the Bears, even right now, I'd like another wide receiver. I'd like another guy for them to pick up. I mean, a real speed guy. Because Eddie Royal's fast, but he's not a pure speed. I mean, he's quick. He's a good slot guy. So that's a good pickup. He played good with Jay. He's played good with Phillip Rivers the last couple of years. He's had about 700 yards the past couple of years. That's, you know, 5 to 7 touchdowns a year. So that's good. But I think we got a caller?
Yeah.
All right, let's see what happens.
All right, caller. All right, it's coming up. It's all ones. I don't even know how to take calls on here anymore.
Sure.
All right, I think you're on the air. All right, so what's on your mind?
Oh, not much. I was just listening, man. So I'm guessing you guys are in Chicago.
Yeah, well, actually not at all. I'm in Pewaukee, Wisconsin.
I'm in Florida.
Yeah, he's in Tampa, Florida, but we cover mostly Chicago sports.
All Chicago all the time.
Okay. No problem. No, just listening, man. Interesting talk so far. Yeah, this NFL free agency stuff is weird, but I guess that's the way they wanted it to be with this last CBA. So I want to see how this goes going forward as far as the players, because basically veterans, they're signing deals. You're only going to get that first or second year of that deal, then you're going to be cut. And
yep.
I guess getting cut doesn't have the same stigma it used to be. Like, it used to be you got released because you were kind of, you know, at the end of the rope. But now guys are getting cut who still probably have a lot of play left in them. But it's just financial reasons, just how things are structured now. So I think that's the interesting thing with the NFL. So
it's weird to look at, like, to see a headline come up like Percy Harvin released. It's like, what? That guy's really good. Like, he's a really good player. Why is he getting released? It's weird. I didn't think about that. It's not as much of a stigma anymore. Like, yeah, if you got released, it was like, oh, man, this guy's got to retire. He's bad.
Yeah. It was the end back in the day. Now it's, you know, it's something new. I'm down here in Atlanta, but I'm from Illinois originally, so I side with the Chicago teams too. What do you guys think about Derrick Rose at this point? Do you just keep him around and hope he comes around, but you build, you know, like he's not there? Like, what do y'all think with D. Rose?
Go ahead.
Well, it's like, honestly, at this point, it's kind of too late to do anything with him, because now is like the worst time you could try and get rid of him, because now nobody's going to want him. So you're kind of stuck with him. I mean, honestly, in terms of health, like, he's going to be like, health-wise in the best shape he's going to be ever now, because the way they did that knee repair last time was actually really dumb, because they tried to re-heal it, but the odds of re-healing it, depending on the person, isn't very high, and especially a guy like Derrick Rose, they never should have done that surgery. And then the injury was just re-injuring the bad surgical job. So really, he hasn't really gotten injured this year, and cutting that out, all it's going to do is, in the short term, it's going to make it great, but then the only downside is in the long term. So when he's, you know, really old, he'll start feeling it. Like, that's what Dwayne Wade has now. But this one's not even as serious as Dwayne Wade. So, I mean, you're kind of stuck with him, honestly. That combined with the contract, nobody's going to want to pick that up. So, but it's like, if you're stuck with Derrick Rose, one thing I've always said is that Tom Thibodeau and Rose kind of need each other, because the way Derrick Rose plays is, you know, he's a great overall player, but then, and he can take over an offense, which is what Thibs needs, but then at the same time, he can't really play good enough defense, and he needs a lot of help defense, and that's where Tom Thibodeau comes in. So really, I'd like, those two have to be your core.
Yeah, the thing with Rose is he can't go anywhere, because the next 2 years of his contract, no one's going to take that. He can't cut him. He can never amnesty him. And like Greg says, he'd be in the best shape. But he just has to be on the floor, because he creates such a different – you have to defend the Bulls differently. Then Mirotić is open more, and Butler's open more. And just as long, if Rose is on the floor, he just has to get back for the playoffs, and Butler will be fine. And just – play smart. He just has to not turn the ball over and hit his shots. Like, he doesn't have to be driving in. The Bulls have enough offense to go around with Butler and Snell and Mirotić, who I think Mirotić could be the main scorer in the fourth quarter but him and Butler. So you got to keep him, and you got to hope. It's still a hoping game, but I'm just done hoping, and I'm just going to expect that he's going to get hurt, and anything else besides that is going to be a reward.
Yeah, that's kind of the conclusion I've come to, man. If it works, it works, but I just expect him to get hurt. But you can't get him out of there. Hometown Chicago kid, it is what it is. Still love him. Hope he gets better. But I'm the complete opposite way with Thibodeau, man. I'm really done with that guy. But I understand you guys watch Chicago sports closely. I know you probably have more inside information than I do, but I just do not like Tibbs at all.
But what's your take on that? Like what is it about Thibodeau that you just can't take anymore?
Well, I think these old this old version of coaching where you just grade and beat on guys every day. I think after a while it kind of runs its course and they're not listening as much as they used to. And then, you know, the typical things people talk about with Tibbs, the minutes, because I think those minutes are huge. Because if you just look at the roster over the past few years, we talk about Noah, Dane, and all of these people who seem to have broken down. I don't think Tibbs ever figured out how to allocate minutes well and still win games. I think he pushed it way too hard all the time. And, there's consequences for it.
Yeah, his weakness is definitely the rotations, because he doesn't really – like, he needs, like, a minutes guy, like, just to, you know, sub guys in and bring in the rotations, and especially situational rotations, not very good with. But with, like, the injuries, like, you mentioned guys like Dang and stuff. Like, Dang actually, like, if you remember, especially from, I think it was, like, 2005 until Fibs got there, like, Dang kept getting injured, like, all the time. Dang, I mean, he had so many knee problems and everything else, and then it wasn't until – going into that 2011 season, I remember everyone was saying, you know, oh, it's only a matter of time until Dang's getting hurt again. And then the first year of Fibs was there, and that was, you know, the year where Fibs was, you know, running practice and Dang was getting, I don't know, like 40 minutes a game or something, totally unheard of. And he was actually totally healthy that whole year for the first time ever. So it's like in Dang's situation, the minutes actually help. So it's – but then you have guys like Manu Ginobili where – you know, if Manu plays over a certain amount, it's like automatic. He's just going to get hurt right away. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of hard with the minutes thing, because historically, too, guys like Jordan and Pippen, I mean, they played like 40 minutes a game like their entire careers. And really everybody up until the last 10 years played all the time and nobody ever got hurt. This is just like this new age thing for whatever reason that people get injured all the time in basketball.
Well, and the main thing with Fibs, his main problem, to at least to us, is that I feel like he's managed minutes a little better this year than he has in previous years, and that's always been his big knock. But I feel like he's tried. He's put more of a concerted effort into it this year. But I think the biggest problem is the team looks unorganized because they can't practice, because Garpax is crippling Thibodeau because they can't get that timing. Because if you look at it, a lot of turnovers, a lot of bad passes, that just comes down to not practicing enough and playing with it, especially the starting lineup with Dunleavy and Rose and Butler and Gasol. Like, those guys have never really played together besides – maybe 20 games this year.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. I mean, those are all good points. But Jordan and Pippen, remember, they played expansion teams every once in a while, but Jordan and Pippen would sit out half the third and almost the whole fourth sometimes. And Phil would give them, you know, privileges for practices and certain games. So I think other people who were in the league had a different way of looking at it. I don't think people breaking down is new. I just think we're more aware of it now, because we all realize 82 games is ridiculous, and they should have shaved the season down similar to that strike season. It'd be a more exciting product. We'd probably get better basketball as a whole anyway.
The strike was awesome. I love that schedule. That was perfect.
Yeah, like, it's like I kind of like this duration of how, you know, like, it's a long season, but they definitely should take out more games and just give them, you know, more rest, like only like two games a week or something would be totally fine. No back-to-backs or anything.
Better, more competitive basketball too, you know?
Yeah, but with the whole minutes thing, like I mean, yeah, Jordan Pippen was one, but, like, nobody, like, even Popovich, like, the only, he does, other than Ginobili, like, he doesn't really restrict people's minutes unless they're old veterans who can't, you know, who aren't developing. Like, really the whole question with when you should take guys on the fourth is if whether they're still developing or not. Like, guys like Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, especially the last few years, even this year, like, he doesn't take those guys out early. He'll, because they're still getting better. It's not until you're older, like a Tim Duncan, where, you know, Tim, you know, Duncan, you know, the big three, like, especially Tim Duncan, where, you know, if the game's over, you're coming out because you're not going to get any better. It's just, you know, preserving you. So it's like, in the Bulls sense, since everyone's young, honestly, everybody other than Pau Gasol and Joakim Noah, because he's probably not going to develop anymore, like, everybody else should just stay in the whole game because they have to get better. And really anything else other than not playing in more minutes, you're just slowing that development. And then every time you slow that development, you only have so much time, then you're just kind of cutting your potential in the long run.
Boy, and Popovich always apologized.
Yeah, but I think that development is for practice, though. I don't think you necessarily develop in games so much as you do practice. And then the other thing is, if you're signing people to these contracts, which are huge a lot of times, when you're playing them significant minutes, it's kind of like a car. To a certain extent, you're you're lessening the value of this, you know what I mean, this player who you've given this huge sum of money. So, I mean, just look at the scouting report that got Danny Ferry in trouble down here on Dean. That was a part of it. Like, that people are making financial decisions now based on how many minutes a guy's played before he's gotten there. It's kind of like a running back with carries. So, I see your point. I just disagree. But either way, I'm going to, you know, finish listening to you guys and hang out. But thanks for letting me on, man.
No problem. Thanks for going in.
We don't have necessarily a set schedule, but we do about a show a week now, it seems like. So if you hit follow or whatever, follow me on Twitter at Darren Doxy, and then I'll tweet out the link there if you want to catch us again. I appreciate the call, though. It's nice to have a caller.
Yep. All right.
At Darren Doxy. Gotcha.
Yep, that's me. I'll follow you back when I find you.
All right. But yeah, I guess I guess to wrap this up then, did you have any final words or anything?
I had something that I wanted to say about the whole minutes debate. A guy like Pop, he's always said to Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker, he's like, I'm sorry, I totally sabotage your stats to keep you guys healthy and for the long run. The minutes thing definitely, that's definitely real. But the practice stuff, really, that's the ultimate killer of this team. And it just sucks. Like, the Bulls will still be good.
That's the other thing which we didn't include. I don't know if the caller can still hear this or not. But the whole practice thing, that's the whole problem is Garpax, they're taking away Thibs' practices. Like, the practices aren't even practice. It's basically like a shoot-around with, film. That's what it is at this point. Like, you can't get better in practice. That's why Thibs is trying to make these guys playing games, and that's why there's no team chemistry or anything, because the practices are so extremely limited that they can't even do anything.
Then there was a game this year where it was the Bulls were there was a blowout and they were clearly going to win or they were going to lose, one of the two. I don't remember exactly which one it was. And Noah and Rose were still in the game, and everyone was freaking out. It was the game right before Rose announced that he was hurt and was going to disappear for another 6 years. Everyone's like, why are they still in the game? And I took it as, how are they going to get chemistry? If they Rose and Noah haven't played together since 2012, really. And
literally,
they got to play together.
And literally, all the bigs are separated from all the smalls. So that's why you see the worst of the worst chemistry is when it's a big man to a small guy or you know, vice versa with the passing and stuff. And that's the most important chemistry. Like that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard is separating them. Like, how does separating them do anything to reduce injury? I don't get this whole like limit practice thing at all. It's not, I mean, this isn't football. Like you're not – there isn't full-on tackling. Like, you're not falling to the ground on top of each other, you know, going in full speed. Like, there is no full-speed contact. It's basketball. Like, I mean, I just don't understand that when it comes to practice.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Like, they're, you can tell their defensive, like we said earlier, defensive rotations are not as crisp as they used to be. They used to be perfect.
But it's not even that. Like they don't know each other. Like nobody knows on offense or defense. Like on defense, I know this guy struggles doing. Like, I mean, if like anybody who plays pickup long enough, like you know, if one guy's really bad on defense, or let's say he's getting killed by a specific move, you know, and you know that guy well, then you look for that and you see when he's about to, like let's say he gets crossed up, you know, in one direction really bad, then you can see that coming and cut him off in time. If you don't play with each other, you're never going to know, and then by the time you step up, it's going to be too late. And then, you know, on offense, obviously, like, chemistry is more important than anything. Like, I mean, look at Stockton and Malone. They pretty much lived on chemistry. Like, that's all they were. I just thought of this now. The bigs can't practice with the smalls. If Stockton and Malone were on this current Bulls team, they'd suck. Like that's just how it would be, because how would they ever know pick and roll and who's going to go where and everything? Like Stockton and Malone wouldn't even make the Hall of Fame on this team right now.
What if Don Stockton was there from the Allstate commercial?
But the thing is, like, FBI agent and so
on. The real question at hand here, my friend, is how big will Mirotić's beard get?
Oh, my God.
Is it going to surpass a certain James Harden?
Honestly, his beard's probably better.
It's way better.
But yeah, I guess
just as much.
What?
He goes to the foul line just as much without flopping as much as James Harden.
Yeah, because he's
that
just
guy. Like, I'm scared to shake his hand in real life because I think he's gonna fall down and like throw his hands in the air.
Honestly, James Harden is just like a pure new age basketball player. Like he just takes, you know, the unblockable, uncontestable shots and draws the fouls properly. Like in terms of like a physical talent, he's really, I mean, he's skilled, but he's not like overly athletic. Like he's pretty, you know, above average for like a 6'5 basketball player. Like he doesn't have, you know, the insane vertical or anything like that. He's just really, he's really smart and has really good like new age basketball fundamentals. That's what he lives on, and it's extremely effective.
It works. It works. That's what Mirotić is going to do. He's just going to take fadeaway shots at people's face, and then he's going to. I noticed what he's done a couple times. He's dribbled down the court. I'm way too excited for Mirotić. He dribbles down.
Yeah, I know. You're like this whole show, like all you've been doing is trying to talk about Mirotić as much as possible.
Mirotić rising, happening.
All right, but yeah, I guess we're pretty much out of stuff, so we'll go ahead and wrap this up.
Oh, real quick, that Lovie Smith down there. He's released three players from his 2014 draft class, so he's already at work. He released a bunch of players today, and he signed Chris Conte. He just keeps signing bad players. Like, this guy doesn't have a clue. Chris Conte, A, can't stay healthy, even if he was
good. Yeah, Chris Conte, I'll say this now, Chris Conte is the worst NFL safety I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, seriously. And he's, like, really athletic, surprisingly, but he just can't capitalize.
Yeah, well, he's athletic on paper, but then on the field, like it doesn't. Oh my God! I didn't want to get into Chris Conte.
I can't get into him. I had to talk to the guy in person once. And I don't ever want to do it again.
But yeah, we were always, especially me, we were always big Lovey haters. Now his Tampa Bay thing might be falling apart. Well, last year's falling apart with the excuses, you know, first year head coach. So we'll see how it turns out next year. Oh, I didn't even get my thoughts on this new GM and this new. We talked about John Fox. We're not the biggest John Fox fans, but. Listening to this GM's press conference, I listened to the whole thing today, and it's like, and probably the thing I'm good at is, you know, listening to a guy talk about what they're into, and I can pick up on how much they truly know about what they're talking about. That's how when Thibs, you know, did his interview, I was saying how I think this coach is gonna be great and everything, and when Phil Emery and who's the Bears head coach again, Mark Trestman, when they had their interviews, I knew from the start these guys know absolutely nothing about defense, and then sure enough, that's how it turned out. The thing I picked up from him is, honestly, it's like it reminds me a lot of like a Phil Emery type of thing, where they're more of like a book smart guy trying to like carry it over into sports. Like it's not like, I mean, obviously the team's not going to work long term anyways, but I just don't see it. I mean, it's like I just see it's like a better version of Phil Emery and Mark Trestman, or like a modified version. But I still see it the same problem, where it's just like a gimmick that's not going to follow through.
John Fox has inflated. Someone told me, oh, he's got a great look at his overall record because it's inflated because he just had Peyton Manning for 3 years. That's why.
But yeah, and even in Carolina, he had pretty good teams. But I mean, John Fox is probably a good coach, but he gets so outsmarted in the playoffs all the time. Like especially Bill Belichick has been wrecking Tom Fox for forever now. Like it's just,
oh, cool. He's Tom Fox now.
Oh, cool. Tom Fox. Yeah, John Fox forever now. God, I mean, that happens all the time in the playoffs. He just gets totally outcoached. I think we said he's just like he's just like a different Lovey Smith.
Pretty much.
Where his
same guy, maybe a little better. Maybe a little better.
Yeah, or just different, because it's like he has the same. Although John Fox outsmoked. He outsmoked him. No, that was actually that was Steve Smith who outsmoked him with the in 2005 against the.
Yeah, when he ran circles around Charles Tillman.
Yeah, that was the worst matchup of all time.
If that happened, oh, my God, imagine Steve Smith versus Charles Tillman today, it'd be the same thing.
Oh, my God, well, it'd be even worse because Steve Smith is, like, faster than ever.
I know, he's awesome. Oh, my God, Mark Trestman has Steve Smith to work with.
Oh, my God, Steve Smith's going to get, like, a million, because Mark Trestman's system is, you know, the number one receiver gets, like, crazy stats, and number two is close fouls. Who is their number two? Because I noticed with Mark Trestman's systems, it comes down to a lot. Who's their
fast guy.
Who is it?
Torrey Smith, that other fast guy.
Oh, yeah, they'll be set. Yeah, the Trestman offense, I don't know if we covered Trestman, but Trestman offensively, his system's really solid. It's just he's not a head coach material because he goes for way too much on fourth down. He's not logical. He's he needs to take the field goal more. I mean, it's like a common trend in the NFL where they just need to take the field goal. And if it's anything, I mean, unless you need the first down, like the game's over if you don't get this first, if you don't get this first down, anything longer than like fourth and three is like the going for is just really dumb. Like especially when it's like fourth and six and fourth and eight, and they're, you know, where it's that area on like the 40-yard line where it's like, you know, where they don't like to punt, or yeah, I mean on the 40 where they're not their 40 but the other team's 40 where they like to go for it, or they're trying to force field goal range. If it's longer than fourth and six, like, well, you're better off just trying to pin them deep in their own end zone, because it's just not worth it.
Not worth it at all. Oh my God, Mark Trestman. He, you know, honestly, like, he's got a good system, but his in-game play calling is very shaky. Very shaky, but that could be because he was a head coach. Maybe it would be better when he's just an offensive coordinator. But I wasn't a fan of his play calling.
Well, it's kind of like an up and down. But that's just offensive flow.
Yeah.
But that team like completely gave up on Trestman at the end. So it's kind of, honestly, I wouldn't judge like the last like six weeks of last year at all. But that
judge the first year.
Oh my God, the first year was amazing. Plus, even like the start of last year, offensively was pretty good. You just have to get his hands off the defense, and he's just not head coach material. He'll be set.
Honestly, if the Bears had a defense his first year, they would have probably been a playoff team. Like, that offense was really good.
Yeah, but the offense took all the money. You couldn't even afford a defense at that point.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying if Lovie Smith and Angelo would have.
Oh yeah, that was the third reason why I was saying Kyler can't win a Super Bowl. One is, you know, his inconsistency in the playoffs. Two is the money he takes, and three is the money he requires, because he not only does he need a lot of money, but then the third thing is he requires the like best receiver in the NFL and a number two really good receiver in the NFL to take away from the number one, because all he does is stare down the number one, and if there's not a second threat, he'll just stare him down all day. And he needs a good running back to bail him out too. So it's like he needs a big tight end. So it's like he just needs so many weapons in order to be effective that it's like by the time you have all that and you have no money left over for defense and you have inconsistencies in the playoffs, it's beyond impossible for him to ever win a Super Bowl.
And anyone could play quarterback in a system where he got that.
Well, yeah, and I know exactly that was my whole argument. And it's like your brother. Like, that's what I was saying. Like we were both saying this. Like Kyle Orton would be the perfect signing, because I mean, if you can sign him for cheap, because then you just sign him for cheap. He's, you know, a great plug-and-play guy. You just build a team around him. He could totally do it.
Hey, you draft a guy. It's fucking grooming behind Orton. Like, Orton's a smart guy.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see Joe Flacco working with